I want to talk to you a little bit about Daniel tonight. But before we get to Daniel, I want to talk to you about God is sovereign. And so sometimes people say, well, what does sovereign mean? And sovereign means basically means that God is in control. And so in the times that we live now, we all know what that word control means, don't we? So some of us struggle with it a lot more than others. But I have found that most people have their control issues. Pastor Mark's been talking to us on Sundays about allowing God to be in control. And you know, He's in control even when we think we're in control. He just lets us live in our dream world sometimes. But God is sovereign. He is a sovereign God, and He is in control of everything. This universe is not spinning out of control because God is in control. But I was thinking about the time that we live in. This year that we live in, 2013, many, many years ago, I can remember being in junior high school, yes. And I can remember when our science teacher, he was talking about the year 2000 and how old would you be in the year 2000 and what kind of technological advances would be made in the year 2000. Some of you may be here who weren't born in the year 2000. But I remember sitting there in the ninth grade thinking, oh my gosh, I'll be so old. Oh, will I still be alive when I'm that old? Please, Lord, I am. But, you know, there are many, many things happening, and there are a lot of bad things that are happening. Lots of tragedies. We hear tragedies in the news every day, here locally, worldwide, and in the United States. We hear about the unrest in all the countries, worldwide rioting in the streets, and everyone demanding their own rights. Everyone is demanding their own rights. We hear about wars, nations fighting with their neighbors. We're not in war with our neighbors, are we, with Canada or Mexico? But there are nations side by side, and they're just warring. They can't get along. Nations are fighting within themselves. There's civil war that's happening because of different political views or different religious views. But there is a lot of war going on. And in the time that we live in, we have been through, or still in, however your political party might spin it, in an economic downturn. It's still kind of going up, but it's very slow. And some say that it's great, but we saw the European Union, where they had economic crash, Greece closing banks, and people could not even access their money. You weren't allowed. And so people were upset and uneasy. It's an uneasy time that we live in, right? Would you say it's unsettling, the times that we live in? We've not had that here. And then even in Greece, when they did reopen the banks, there was a certain amount that if you had in your account, they taxed it. I'm not sure if that's what they called it, but you were levied so much of that. In the countries and in our country, however you feel about it, this is what I think. I think that, you know, you have people who are being manipulated to be angry with other people. We have in our country, we're called the United States, but we're not so united. We have those who would manipulate our own thinking, tug at your heartstrings and cause you to be against one side. You know, the left would be against the right, or, you know, those who live in the back might be against those who live in the front. Just different reasons. Whatever they think that would cause you to see difference or find difference and not to be able to come together, but to be divisive. Very divisive. This is the country that my grandchildren are being raised in. And this is the country that I'm now living in. You know, greed begets greed. Hatred begets hatred. And so on and so on. The United States of America's credit rating was lowered. But we continued to print money and, say, charge it. Energy crisis, food crisis, droughts, flooding, it affects. When we have the floods, when we have the droughts, animal diseases. I was looking and, you know, they had fish, birds falling from the sky, cattle, And so I was thinking about that, the sea, the air, and the land, all covered. Crops, human diseases, we have crop failures, earthquakes, the number of quakes, the intensity. That is one of the things that I was reading, is that it's the intensity of the earthquakes that are increasing. The size of them, volcanoes, you know, it's every day you hear something. And science, medicine, technology, there's so many advances. And we were talking about this a little bit this weekend, Pastor Mark and I. You know, with greater knowledge comes greater, when you have so much knowledge concerning science, medicine, and technology, comes a great responsibility, right? And so if you have those who are godless and they have all of this great wisdom and knowledge concerning medicine, science, and technology, what kind of responsibility do they have? What is their thinking? What are they determining is right or is wrong? And what I was thinking about that as we were talking about it, I said, you know, when God said, don't eat from this tree, the knowledge of good and evil, and Adam and Eve ate from that tree. And so from then on, man has thought that he knows how to discern good and evil. Outside of God, you and I do not discern good and evil. We are left to our own thinking then, and what we determine is good. And you may determine it's evil. But if we're godless, then what I say is good for me. Right? And what you say is good for you is good for you. But outside of God, we can't determine good and evil. But with all of this technology, sometimes I just marvel, because I'm not a technological person. I actually don't want to be. I just don't want it. It doesn't fascinate me. It doesn't intrigue me. I just need tools to do what I need to do. And that's it. I don't want to have to sit and piddle with it and let it take up brain space, you know? There is something called the 2045 Initiative. I don't know if you're familiar with that. But within that, they have this timeline. And some of you have probably seen or you've heard of the Avatar movie. And all of the games with the avatars. You know, I have an avatar and it's supposed to be you. But in 2015 to 2020, in this 2045 initiative, 2045 is a date that they've set, to have a robotic copy of a human body that's remote controlled. And that's called Avatar A. Then from 20 to 25, at the end of your life, your brain is then transplanted, and that's called Avatar B. And then from 20 to 2035, your personality, which I don't really understand, so it has to be someone far smarter than I am to figure out how to transfer your personality. But how to transfer your personality at the end of your life, that's what they say, to an avatar with an artificial brain. Because the human brain is limited and can't think as fast as an artificial brain can, as fast as I'm thinking. But from 2040 to 2045, they're going to have a hologram-like avatar. This is called Avatar D. The other one was Avatar C. So many couples who are childless, they want to have a child, and they seek all of these different programs, and there are ways that you can be able to have a child. And so they go and seek all this medical help, and with technology, there are two children that have been born in the last decade. You know that everyone sitting here, you have the DNA of your mother and your father. These children, I know two, who have the DNA of two mothers and one father. So this is science progressing, and this is man determining right and wrong. This is a global future for us. And there is a man named Raymond Kurzweil? I don't know if you've heard of him. Brilliant. So much smarter than me. We can't even be on the same side of the planet. He's so smart. But he has this company, or whatever you want to call it. He's been the brains of so many things. But it's called Accelerating Intelligence. robots that become human-like. And it was just interesting to watch and to listen to this man. I watched a documentary on him. He lost his father when he was a young man. And when his father died, he saved everything. He has his father's electric bills. His father was a composer. He has all of his father's music. He just has a whole warehouse with everything that belonged to his father. And this man has spent his life now. He's 65 years old, and he believes that this will be accomplished before he dies, that he will create someone to be his father. He wants to transfer all of his memories, that he'll be able to take his memories and plant them in this human-like robot. You'd just be surprised at all the strides that man is making. And as they were talking to the different scientists, the different ones around the world who were working on these different projects that they'll all be able to put together, is that one said, you know, that we'll have to make new laws. We'll have to make laws because they will have thoughts. They will begin to be able to think, and they'll begin to process. And then as they think, they become smarter. They'll have feelings. And so then you have to make new laws. And one scientist who was a Christian, he said, you know, we can't keep going down this road, because he said, you know how you step on an ant and they're a nuisance to you and you just, you know, step on them and get them out of your way? He said the way that the things are going with the robots and their ambition as to what they want to do is that then humans would be a nuisance. They said, you know, that we then would be God. This Raymond Kurzweil, he said, we will be our own God, but I'm here to tell you that God is in control. Amen. So they are just going to continue on and on this way, because man wants eternal life. He wants eternal life, but outside of the Lord, there's no way to have eternal life that's worth living. And in the world that we live in today, there's increased persecution for the church. For churches that believe that Jesus is the only way. Not for churches that are tolerant or inclusive. Very inclusive and are willing to change the language to suit the world. So those churches will be able to continue. But churches who believe that Jesus is the only way will be too narrow. And will be a hindrance to all of these things that a global world wants to do, because we've become smaller with all of our technology. We're not as big. The world's not as big as it used to be. But the hope that you and I have is that God is in control and He is sovereign. And with all of that, you think, well, what does that have to do with Daniel? I want us to look at Daniel, and I've just been so in the book of Daniel for 3 months, just studying and reading and thinking and praying on this. And what an amazing, just an amazing book this is. This is the Old Testament book of Revelation. And you can't read Revelation if you don't read Daniel. And it is an apocalyptic book. And I was thinking about this. You know, Daniel wasn't a preacher. He didn't go around and preach or anything. He was actually a slave. That's what he was. He was a slave. He was elevated, but he was a slave. He spent his entire life as a slave. He didn't go out. He didn't preach sermons. He didn't stand on the street. He didn't go to a church. He didn't have a synagogue. He didn't have any of those things. He was just a slave. But God was in control. Let's read in chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. I want to stop there for just a minute and then we'll read on. I want you to see right here that God is in control of this. He is in control of this whole situation. In verse 2, it says, and the Lord gave. Nebuchadnezzar is not in control. He is there to do the will of God. Now, isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy that God would have this ruthless man come in and take his people and to take them to a foreign land to make slaves out of them? But God is in control. It says that God did this. God did this. Why would God do that to His own people? Because they had rejected God. Because they had rejected God. They had rejected His laws. and his temple was a place of false worship. The rulers of the government and the religion, the religious rulers, they were all wicked. They were wicked. So you see, God is in control. God is in control. Where is America today? Where is America today? Where is our government today? Where are those who lead the church? Where are those who lead the church? Where are those that you can turn to? Where are those in the church pew? Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be? Where does your heart want to be? See, that's why God rejected Israel. That's why He carried them off into captivity. He was merciful and gracious many, many years. We have been a nation for many, many years. Those who came here to this nation looking for religious freedom to be able to worship the Lord God Almighty, they made a covenant with God. See, we've been living on that grace for quite a few years. This didn't start just 50 years ago. This didn't start just 100 years ago. We have progressed and progressed and progressed and progressed, and we are where we are today. Not just because of our parents, but the parents before them and the parents before them. But God is gracious and He's slow to move with His people. And those who will listen to Him, He will speak to. If you think God's not speaking to you today, maybe you need to shut some things down and be quiet and God will speak to you. So we also see here in verse 2, now listen, God is the one who gave them over to Nebuchadnezzar. I want you to think about all the things that we've talked about that are going on in the world today. Who is in control? There's no such thing as Mother Nature. So she's not in control. Okay? And so God is in control. And so God also gave articles from His house. The temple was His house. All of that belonged to Him. Not only that, the people of Israel, they belonged to Him. The kings, everyone there. But it says that God gave articles from His house, the children of Israel, the king's descendants, nobles. He gave soldiers. He gave craftsmen of all sorts. Young men, good-looking men, smart, quick to learn, had manners. And I'm paraphrasing it, so if you're reading it from there. So that they would be able to serve in the king's palace. The king, he looked for only the best. Those who were poor, he left in the land. He didn't take those. And if you look in 2 Kings 24, it says that he removed 10,000 people from the land. He removed 10,000 people. They were taken to Shinar. I think this is interesting because Shinar goes back to Genesis. And that's what it was called when they were building the Tower of Babel. And so they were taken to Shinar, which is Genesis' name for Babylon. And today we would call it Iraq. When you forsake God, He does not go into a depression. He does not pout. And He does not have a pity party. When a nation denies God and makes their own God and wants to look like every other ungodly nation, God is in control. And He is in control right here in the book of Daniel. That's what you need to see. As many times as I have read this, every time I read it, I see how God is on His throne and everything and everyone is subject to God. All things, nothing's spinning out of control. Nothing's spinning out of control. You may hear about all of these things and want to go, woe is me, but you should not go, woe is me, because God is in control. There is nothing out of His reach. And there is nothing that they may be doing in secret that He does not see. He is in the world today and in America. God had sent prophets to warn Israel and to warn Judah. And they killed their prophets, ignored their prophets, and kept up with their neighbors. What happens today? We're not living in some of the other countries, but in our country today, they are making laws and talking heads on TV. And if you have your favorite singing star or your favorite movie star. They are telling you how to live your life. Most people I see, they're not making sound judgments according to this word, if you go back to the word, to discern what is going on today and how to make a right decision, how to walk the right way. So many people will run from this church to that church just to hear what they want to hear, to make sure that they're okay, or that they have enough games to play, or they have the right music, or they have the right setting, or they're taking enough trips, or maybe, you know, their pastor dresses the right way, or he looks the right way, or maybe he's not young enough, or he's not cool enough, or he's not wearing his jeans with his holes in them, or something like that. They want to look like the world. They want their church to look like the world so everyone's comfortable when they come into it. But don't you know that when you get to know Jesus, He doesn't look like the world. He looks like heaven, and He wants us to look like Him. And He's in control. What are you going to do with the prophets when they come? You know, God, when God is wooing someone, He woos them just like a man who is in love with this young lady. And he goes to her and he speaks sweet things to her. Or he buys her flowers, or he buys her candy, or he takes her out for a long walk. But he just spends so much time, or he writes her a love letter. And He is wooing her. God's goodness and His love and His mercy woos you to draw you to Him. But if you reject Him, there is a different side that you will see. There is a different side. And God will send different ones into your life. He will send different messages to grab hold to you, to bring you back to Him, to draw you closer to Him, to be able to stand in the day that you live. You don't live 60, 70 years ago where you could leave your doors unlocked. Although we did leave our door unlocked last night. But we don't live in that time when you can do that. You can't even leave your car unlocked. We don't live in those times. We do live in treacherous times. Many, many bad things are happening. But God is in control. And God's faithful to His people. God is faithful to His people to have His word spoken for those who will respond. For those who will respond. Those who will follow Him and those who will listen to Him. Pastor Mark said this morning, this is what I got from the message, to apprehend the will of God for your life. To apprehend the will of God for your life. And most of us prefer our own will, if we were honest. We will make our own plans, and we will make our own decisions, and then we will say, well, God, will you bless this? I'm out. I'm heading out the door. God, will you bless this? This is what I'm going to do. Okay, God, come on, let's go. I'm in a hurry. But that's not what God does. God is sovereign. He's in control. God is on the throne, not me. He is in control of everything. He dictates everything. And everything is for His purpose and for His glory. What if your situation is like Daniel's? He was not in control. He was overrun and taken prisoner. I especially was thinking about the young people with this. It doesn't just apply to the young people. Do we have anyone in here who's around 14, 15, 16? 14, 15, 16? Yeah. How would you feel? How would you feel if we had this horrible king who made war with our country, and he defeated our military, he defeated our White House, he came in, took our president prisoner, and then he took you young people. Well, he's evil now. But he takes all of the young people. I want you to think about, especially for you who are able to come to church every Sunday. You come to church every Sunday, you have parents who love the Lord, they tell you about the Lord, and you just kind of Sunday mornings, you're just like, ugh, church again? Oh, they sing. Oh, I'm so tired of all that singing. And then Pastor Marky's got to preach. Oh, sometimes it's so long. I just want to go. I can't even use my phone. Unless I can... You know? We tend to think of the Old Testament as just this time that was just a bunch of ignorant people. They didn't know much, you know, and they didn't have much. But they were not ignorant people. And Daniel most likely was a descendant of the kings of Judah. He lived in a royal palace, most likely. Probably a lot better off than some of us are. But around 14, 15, 16 years old, he's taken prisoner. He has no control. All the plans that his parents had for his life are gone. So you parents, I want you to think about how you just grab hold of your kids and you're just clutching at what they're going to do. This is what you will be. But yet then you just turn around and you give them everything the world has to offer. Daniel's taken, and he has no parents now. He has no parents. But up until this time, someone had been teaching this boy. Someone taught him about God. He grabbed hold to it. And let me tell you the amazing thing about this, young people. I want you to think about this. Daniel knew how to pray. He didn't pray just a minute. He didn't pray just when his family was there. Daniel knew God himself. It's evident. If you look at Daniel's life, this young man knew God. And he wasn't afraid and he wasn't worried about his peers or what they thought of him. And he certainly was not afraid of the adults that he was surrounded by. He was not an arrogant, rude young man. You will see this as you look at the life of Daniel. But someone had taught him. Daniel knew how to pray. And apparently his friends knew how to pray. But if you look at the book of Daniel, Daniel seems to be the spokesperson for them all. And maybe it was his faith and his courage that helped his three friends. Now I want us to look right here. At verse 3, I'm going to start at verse 3. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies, of the wine which he drank. And 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, the king, when he conquered a country, one of the things that he would do is he did raid their temple. And so that was to show that he was superior and his God was superior to their gods. And then he took the best of the land for his land because he had a plan for them. The king wanted them thoroughly Babylonianized. That's my word. I don't know if that's a word. But he wanted them thoroughly indoctrinated. He wanted them to walk, talk, think, act, look, and sound like him, like his kingdom. See, you understand that, don't you? That's what God wants from you and from me. He wants us to walk, talk, think, act, look, and sound like him. That's what he wants from you. So you see, if an evil earthly king wants that, how much more should we not be ready to yield to our heavenly king? He did not want them to resemble a Hebrew. The first thing that he did was he wanted to feed them from his table. He said, feed them from my table. And so what is so bad about that? Now remember, there were probably 10,000 people taken. And Daniel and the three Hebrew children, as we always call them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were not the only ones in the palace. There were others, but these are the only ones that are recorded. First thing he does is the king orders that they be fed from his table. He wants to introduce them to the world's table, cause them to have an appetite for all the good things that the world has to offer. I want you to think about that when you look at what maybe your neighbor has or what an ungodly person, someone who doesn't serve the Lord, when you look at their table and you go to their house and you see what they have, you need to stop and think. The second thing he wanted was training for them for 3 years in the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. He wanted to change their thinking. He wanted to change their thinking. Now, I want you to stop and remember, I'm going to keep bringing you back to this. Daniel's only probably 14, 15, 16 years old, somewhere in that time frame. And so if you can grab a young person around 14 years old and you can indoctrinate them. But he wanted to change their thinking. He wanted to cause them to have an appetite for the things of the world. The good life is what we would call it. And then the last thing he did was change their names. Change their names to take away their identity. To take away your identity. The enemy is always after to steal your identity from you. So I want you to think about that next time you want to look like the world. And you know, this doesn't apply just to young people. Adults struggle with that too. Adults, especially in the day and time that we live in, they struggle with wanting to be accepted by the young people because we have a young culture. You know, everything's geared towards young people. And you know, their wisdom does come with age, except for some people who think they still want to be 20. You know, they have an issue with being an adult and thinking like an adult and behaving like an adult. They much prefer to look like a 20-year-old. That's why plastic surgeons make so much. But they want to change your identity. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. He wants to take away your identity. Your name is who you are. Did you know that? I tell my grandkids that all the time. I said, you are a Hillis. Don't you go out of here and embarrass me. You just remember who you are. Your name will travel further in this life than you will ever go. So sometimes they listen and sometimes they don't, because you know who they are in church. You're like, oh, that's a Hillis grandkid. But if you do not want to compromise in this world, then you need to purpose in your heart. And that's exactly what Daniel did. You're uprooted from your home. It is amazing to me how this young boy knew the Lord. I'm just thoroughly amazed as I read this. And I think, Lord, what would I have done at 14 years old? But Daniel purposed. And the thing that he did was the food was first. You think, what a little thing, huh? What a little thing, you know, a hamburger all the way with French fries. Daniel says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with what was coming from the king's table. We don't think about this as often, but in the time in which Daniel lived and in the country where Daniel was from and in the surrounding countries, to share a meal was a sign of a covenant. You were entering into a covenant with someone, and it would be that you then were in agreement with them. And so Daniel was like, I'm not in agreement with this king. I'm not in agreement with this kingdom. And so I'm not receiving the food from his table. Now, could it have also been because maybe the food had been offered to idols? Could have been, but this is another way for you to look at it, that he was not entering into an agreement with that king. He purposed in his heart, he said, no, I am not in agreement with you. So Daniel rejected this symbol of dependence on the king. His dependence was on God Almighty. And the defilement he feared was not so much ritual as a moral defilement. Daniel was God's man. And if you look at verse 9 through 16, now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies, and as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. So I want you to see that Daniel was not rude. He was not obnoxious. He was not demanding his rights. But he was considerate, he was polite, and he was well-mannered. And he had wisdom at 14 years old not to demand anything or to refuse or go on a starvation diet. He said, would you just test us in this? See God's control in this? God is in control because he's given Daniel and them favor. Before anything has happened, God has already given him favor. Him and his friends, they have favor. And he said, he goes to him and he says, please, would you test us in this? Daniel's not refusing the education. But for this, he says, just test us in this. Look at God's control. The youth, they were tested in this. And then in verse 15, at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate their portion of the king's delicacy. I want you to see that God was in control. They were fatter, and only in Babylon is fatter better. So I think maybe we should all move to Iraq, because fatter is better. And God is in control. I want you to see that God is in control of this. Now, because if you go on a vegan diet, I know some people only want to eat vegetables. But if you go on a vegan diet, you're going to lose weight. You're not going to get fatter. But this was God. This was God showing how he is in control. Because they had to be better. They could not look worse. They had to look better. And when you serve the Lord, you're always going to look better. Okay, so we see now in verse 17, as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. I want you to see that God gave them, just like God gave them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, God gave them. He gave them knowledge and he gave them skill in the literature and the wisdom. Daniel had understanding, look, not in some dreams, once in a while, it said in all dreams and visions. God gave that to Daniel. This was God. This is God showing himself in Nebuchadnezzar's palace. Who's in control of this kingdom? Who is sovereign over everything? God is. God always has his man, no matter where it is. He has his man. And Daniel wants to be God's man. This is because from the beginning they would not defile themselves. I want you to think about this, especially young people. Maybe you're thinking, or maybe you have friends and they behave a certain way, but you feel like an oddball. Listen, if you want to walk closely with God, you want to know what's going on in the times that we're living in, if you want to see what God's doing in the earth today, do you know God doesn't want to keep it a secret from you? Did you know He wants you to know what He's doing? He wants His people to know. He wants you to understand how He's working. But if you defile yourself, you're not going to hear. You're going to have to go to someone else to give you that message. Because you're not going to hear it. You're not going to know it. You're not going to have dreams. You're not going to have visions. You're not going to have understanding. You're not going to have wisdom. This is a time for you to make a choice and make a decision. And those maybe who are a little bit older than our teenagers, it is a time. It is a time for you to begin to think, who is in control? You're not in control. You need to be able to listen to God. If you defiled yourself, you know there's a place, it's called a place of repentance. And that may be the place that you need to go so that you can hear, because God is working. There is an imminent return. There is an imminent return. He is returning. Things are not going to get better, because I'm just telling you, man's heart is wicked and it's black. We want to pull everyone in that we can, but until He returns, you need to have your heart right. Listen, I want you to understand the fact that Daniel and his friends did not have parents. Not have parents. They did not have mentors. Christian mentors. They did not have a youth group. They did not have a church. They did not have Christian music or Christian websites. They didn't have a devotional book. What they had been taught before they were taken captive, they stood on. And I want you to understand, older folks in this church, that what Daniel received as a 14-year-old boy, he walked it out for 80 years. And increase came to him. You have the book of Daniel because he didn't defile himself here in the first chapter. You have all of this God's revelation of what He's going to do in the earth today because a 14-year-old boy did not defile himself. What do you know? What can you hear? What do you want to know? Which would you prefer? Would you prefer the latest fashion design? Would you prefer the latest technology? Would you prefer... What would you prefer? To hear from God? Amen. To know the will of God? Amen. Do you want to be God? Do you want to be here? Do you want to be among those who are creating their own gods so that they can be in control? That's what it's all about, folks, when it comes down to it. There are two gods. There is God Almighty, and then there is the God that you create. And who will control your life? And in the world that we live in today, young people, there's not a lot expected out of you. Not a lot expected out of you. I heard that the third leading cause of death among teenagers is suicide. 40% more men from age 40 to 65 commit suicide than women. In the times that we live in, people don't have a lot of hope. They don't understand who's in control when their parents are out of control, and then there's no control at home, And then there's no control in the church because everything revolves around you. And let me tell you something, it doesn't revolve around you. First of all, nothing revolves around any of us. It only revolves around God. He's the one on the throne. Nobody else here has a throne. If you have a throne of your own making, eventually it's going to be cast away. But God is in control and He's calling His people. As Pastor Mark's been preaching these messages, and just sitting there and I'm thinking, God, You are speaking to Your people in such a gentle way. Do you realize the goodness of God and how He's been speaking to us as a church these past weeks? He is gently, gently calling us into a place of a deeper commitment. What do you stand on? Or is it hard for you to stand on anything? In verse 20, there comes a time, the end of their 3 years is up. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. When they were interviewed at the end of that 3 years, it was the king who examined them. It says they were 10 times better than all those who stood in the king's court. All of those who were born there, all of those who were trained there, they were 10 times better because these men had a prayer life. These men knew the one true God. These men had taken a stand. They're men now. They had taken a stand when they came in as boys. They took a stand and they stood for their God. And all of the years of Daniel's life, it says in the first chapter, talks about his beginning, and it says that he was there until King Cyrus, and he was probably in his 90s. He was an old man. He was an old man, a lot older than anyone here when he was thrown into the lion's den. And he still stood for God. But he was a man of prayer and he was committed to his God. What are you committed to? Do you know that God's in control of your life? Whether you choose to live for Him or not, He is in control. Disobedience for God's children brings correction. Because He's a good father. He's a lot better than you earthly fathers. And I know there's some good fathers in here. But He's so much better. He's so much better because some earthly fathers, they're so good they don't even want to correct. They're just like, oh, don't do that. God's not like that. He's not like that. He's a good father. I love Him. Rebellion and rejection of God brings judgment. And that's not a good word because in our society today, you don't have the right to judge. I don't judge anything. Let's just leave it up to this. Then we all fall short. We see what is happening in the world, but God begins in His own house. God begins in His own house with His own people. God begins with His people first. Man is not God. There is only one God. As I listen to these men of great learning, I thought, they're really stupid. I'm just telling you, outside of the Lord, I don't care how smart you think you are. I don't care what you invent. And you say, Pastor Maggie, you know what? You're just not smart. Listen, I don't think you're smart at all. If you don't know the Lord, what do you have? What do you have? Because what you know, what you can build, listen to me, it's going to burn up. It's just going to burn up. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. What do you have? You can't invent the cure for anything. You're out there. You think you outside of God, you can't do anything. Right. And so unless you have great wisdom in God, I'm just like, you don't impress me at all. I'm not impressed. Outside of God, you have nothing. And when you think that you can become God, my heart grieves for you. Weather happenings are God's warnings. And I'm telling you, when you look at the weather and you see the disturbing things that are happening, that should not be happening, and even godless godless newscasters who say, this is unheard of. This is unheard of. This is unheard of. You've heard. You've heard. You just aren't willing to think about it with the mind of Christ. Wars and wickedness is when God says, rule without me. Man wants to eat from the tree of life. Jesus is our tree of life. God has a timetable and He is returning. He is in control and He is sovereign. And if you will not serve now and take a stand now, listen, things are pretty good for us still right now, aren't they? We can still go out on the streets and say Jesus, can't we? But if you won't do it now, if you can't serve Him now, if you can't take a stand right now, how do you think that you will make the choice to serve Him in difficult times? That's what you need to think about when the time comes when you have to make a choice. When they say, are you a Christian? Are you one of them? Life or death situation? You think, oh, I will make the right choice. If you can't stand now, you won't be able to stand then. God always brings us to a place where we make a choice. God will always have a testimony in the earth until He returns. And so what God wants to know, do you want to be His man for the time and realize and understand that He is in control of everything? Everything. Amen? Amen. Let's stand.